Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so on the heels of a nice long weekend, Labor Day weekend, I hope you had a wonderful time. I hope it wasn't laborious. I hope it was restful. But if you haven't checked your stock market holdings today, if you haven't checked your 401k, your mutual funds, odds are pretty good that you have not had a good day financially. The markets just closed down 632 points. 632 points. That's 3 days in a row. Major hit last Thursday, which I think was down like 700 or 800, then Friday, and then today. So three major hits in a row. Looks like a stock market correction. Smells like a stock market correction. But is it one? It's not a 10% drop, but it is a significant drop. So a lot going on there. The Fed, of course, continuing to monkey around with the machine as always. And so we want to talk about that. Debt. You think it's getting better? You think it's getting worse? Of course, you should already know the answer to that question when it comes to the debt here in the United States of America. It is only getting worse, but how does that factor into our decisions? What are we doing there? And then, of course, how does precious metals fit into this whole conversation? So yesterday, being Labor Day, was the first Monday of the month, September. Can you believe that, by the way, that it's September already? That's shocking to me. September, October, November, December, and we're out of here. And quite frankly, 2020 can't end soon enough. However, we don't know what's on the other side of this. We've got a huge election coming up, which may or may not be decided on November 3rd. I'm beginning to think that it won't be. That's not good for the nation. So how is the stock market going to react to all of this? What's going on in the major indices? What's going on with our investments? And how does precious metals fit into all that? These are very complicated situations in very complicated times. So our first Monday of the month was yesterday. So obviously we couldn't do it then, but we'll do a full Money Monday today with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, how are you?
I'm doing good because Phoenix weather is below 100 degrees, so the market might not be hot, and it's not so hot here.
Yes, yeah, anyway. So any day below 100 degrees, I guess, is a good day in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I appreciate that perspective.
One of the criterias.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So obviously, and thanks, I hope you had a good restful weekend, and obviously a lot going on in the financial world, and this is a pretty big hit over the last 3 days with the stock market, and again today. I hadn't looked at it all day. I've been having a good day until now. No offense to you, but all of a sudden down 632 points. And so what's going on? Give us a kind of the year-to-date look, and then let's talk about what's happened over these last 3 days, because it hasn't been pretty.
So here are the numbers. The Dow last week was positive for the first time. Now it's negative again, down 1.7%. S&P up 5.6%, although down 2.78% today. So that's not factored in to the year to date. This is as of market close Friday. NASDAQ up 25%, but down 4.5% today, or 4.1% today. Again, not factored in the numbers. Gold, 27% up, beating the indexes like I said it would. Silver, the shining star, 51% year to date. So a lot of volatility going on. I said it was going to happen, and we are here.
Yeah, this is a lot of volatility, but at this point, I would say it's perfectly normal for 2020, yep. The year of volatility and anything but clear vision. That's just 2020, and we haven't even gotten to the presidential election yet. And we'll talk about that more as we get close to it, because the markets will react. Everything's going to react to the presidential election. Those are big issues, and we'll work towards that. But yeah, that's the year to date. But these last 3 days have been brutal, David. So what's going on?
Well, I've been saying that the S&P and the NASDAQ, the valuations are beyond normal. They're very high. They should be around 17, and they're at 27 before this correction happened. And so it's official. The S&P did hit an all-time high, breaking the COVID crisis downturn. But the markets are having a hard time right now. It's not COVID. It's really a couple things. Two things. It's an overvaluation of the market, and people are waking up to the fact of that. We've been talking about this. The ultra-rich investor groups are panicking and saving money, putting in cash. We talked about that before. Tiger 21 is the investor club name. But here's the big one. SoftBank. Now, people are going like, who's SoftBank? It's a Japanese multinational conglomerate holding company headquartered in Tokyo. And SoftBank owns stake in many areas, technology, energy, and financials. And so what they did, it came out in the news, they reportedly bought billions of dollars of individual stock options. Not stock, but options, betting on big tech companies over the past month, which drove volumes into the market and drove prices, contributing to a what many call a trading frenzy. So then the news came out shortly after that. SoftBank unwound their what they call their whale positions in the NASDAQ. And that's what caused the grain to pull out and the water, you know, the financial water to dissipate from the market here. So SoftBank caused the market to go up. They sold. They caused the market to go down. They took in $4 billion of profits. And that's why I'm saying you got to be careful when the big money starts shifting. That affected a lot of companies. Tesla got affected. They're down 21% year to date. Apple totally got clobbered too. And Goldman Sachs is seeing Apple that they're going to be down another 30% plus is what they're projecting. They're already down about 20% in the last 3 days. So that'd be a, if Goldman is right, that'd be a 50% pullback.
That's
in Apple. But the VIX is rarely wrong. It's a indicator of how much volatility and the fear factor out there. The VIX became high, not all-time high, but became higher than normal. It went over 36, and normally should be around 13, 14. 2007, I think the number was 81 or 84. So it puts into perspective where we're at. It became high. There was a sell-off, and we're definitely seeing people come out of the woodwork, a new one. Byron Wine, he's Blackstone's guy, saying that this is not over, and we're still going to continue to see some choppy water and maybe some more pullback. He's a Wall Street legend, and he's saying that the risk of correction is high still, and it's going to be really bumpy between now and the presidential election.
Yeah, and so are you ready for the bumpiness? That's exactly the point today. We're talking to David Fisher, a full Money Monday here on the Steve Noble Show, and David Fisher with Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. David, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to pick it up there when we come back. A lot to unpack today. Tesla, just in the last week, like David, it's just in the last week, down 30%. What in the world's going on? Diversification is important, and paying attention to the headlines is important. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And you can't see it really great. We'll try to focus it a little bit different on the other side of the break for our friends here on Facebook Live. But we just put up on the TV over my shoulder the U.S. debt clock. Okay, and I'm just paying attention to it. We're going to pull David Fisher back into this conversation in a second. Just the U.S. debt clock. Okay, it's in real time. So at 4:18 p.m. Eastern time, it was at $26,736,136,000,000 and change. Okay, at 4:18 p.m. Eastern time, that was a minute and a half ago. We've already rolled up to 141 million. So it's 26,736,141,000,000. We've gone up $5 million in our debt in the last minute and a half. So I'll tell you before we finish the show where we're at, like basically at 4:59 p.m. Eastern time, I'll show you where we're at. Okay, that's the deal. That's what we're dealing with. That's reality. That's what's happening out there. And that's why we talk to David on a regular basis, because we need to be paying attention to these things. People go, wow, why do you do the financial thing every week? Because the Bible and Jesus, the Old and the New Testament, talked about money and possessions pretty much more than anything else in terms of actual numbers of scripture, because God knows our heart. He knows what our challenges are going to be when it comes to money and possessions. Either we don't think about it enough, which hurts your stewardship, or you think about it too much, which hurts your stewardship. All of that has an impact on our sanctification, and let's put our all hands in the air if you struggle with this topic at some level, and all of us do. And then we're just trying to be wise. We're called to be wise stewards of what God gives us, which is why we talk to David regularly. And then the very first month, the very first Monday of the month, we do a full Money Monday show. Of course, yesterday was Labor Day, so we're doing it on a Tuesday. David, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me, Steve, obviously. I appreciate that. I said something that was incorrect. I said Tesla's stock is down 21%. It's actually 33.7%. I just did the numbers. It was 498 at the high, which is about a week and a half ago, and now 330. So, you know, just be careful having all your eggs in one basket of paper right now.
Which is why we continue to say diversify, diversify, diversify. Which is stock market stuff. Then you have cash. Then you have real estate, and then precious metals. And David's not on here, nor am I having him on here to say, "Oh, yes, sell everything, buy some gold, buy some land in Wyoming. Let's go out there and raise chickens and cows, and just wait for Jesus to come back." No, that's not what we're saying. We're talking about being diversified and having yourself spread out instead of spread thin. And that's an important topic. So let's talk about the Fed, because they're always monkeying with everything underneath the engine. Underneath the hood and the engine. So it's a major fundamental change. We've talked about this, but let's remind everybody something that happened earlier this year and then what's going on with the Fed.
They gave the engine an overhaul. In 2012, they created a policy that says we're going to keep inflation low, under 2%, and they did do that. That's why you didn't see gold rising. In fact, gold and silver corrected, which is what was caused by the Fed's policy. So as the tide goes out, the tide always comes in. And the policy got reversed here a couple of weeks ago, a major policy change, probably one of the biggest, I will say, that will affect us the most significant, maybe in our lifetime. And it's now going to let inflation run. They call it the average inflation targeting. And so roughly interpret, the Fed is saying we're going to let inflation run moderately above the stated goal of 2% for some time. That's their verbiage. It's a vague statement, like I said before. It questions on how much inflation is going to be acceptable, 3%, 8%, 10% for some time. It's not in the term of months. It's in the term of years. They have no real target. Therefore, they can't be held accountable in any way. This came out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, as their annual meeting. But the Fed did completely made up its mind. There's been this question, what will the Fed do? The overhaul of the engine has now happened. Inflation is going to come. It's going to be a part of our environment. And the ultimate outcome for printing of money that has started way back prior to 2009 in the quantitative easing, it's all out of the bag now. The cat's out of the bag, and here we are 12 years later, and an inflationary storm is going to come, because the greater the degree of debt you create and the more money you create out of thin air, which is what the government and the Fed has done. Remember, this is, we're talking about the Fed, not a gold bug saying this. This is the Fed, that it is suggesting that we're going to have much higher inflation. I'm not saying higher interest rates, higher cost of goods. They might tame that by running up the rates of the interest rate, but the Fed has suddenly said it's okay with inflation running hot. That's like an engineer saying, I'm okay if there's a few leaks in the dam, just depending on where they are. So, you know, and as a result of this, lumber's gone up, copper's gone up, gold's gone up, a lot of commodities, silver's gone up. And this is, and put it in perspective, $3 trillion was created in 2008. We did that in the last 6 months, and they're continuing to create another $1.8 trillion of new money. So the market is dependent upon government stimulus and subsidies with the Fed, and this is the survival mode. So that means if they ever stop this action, the economy is going to recede, and perhaps we'll go into another recession again.
How do you look at the Fed generally, David? I think everybody knows how I look at the Fed. I trust them as far as I can throw them, which isn't anything. And they're monkeying in there. There's a lot of political pressure. They're trying to make it, it's like the emperor has no clothes. That's exactly what's going on. And they're trying to convince everybody that the emperor is fine and everything's going to be fine and he looks good, but he's buck naked. But how do you look at the Fed generally as somebody that's involved with the market, especially from a precious metals perspective?
Well, I'm going to give credence to your dear friend TJ, the financial scholar, that the Fed is the arsonist and the fire department, and they wear both hats. And they're creating the fire department now, supporting the market, supporting the economy, but it's going to turn into the biggest fire we've ever seen, because you can't create all this money without having inflation. I said that for, you know, decades, and I've been saying it passionately for 6 months, and now they finally admit we're going to have inflation. So we're going to have a big problem, and that is the role of the Fed. So here's what I think is going to happen long term, is that I think the Fed's not going to go away or be replaced, but I think we're going to see competition from other central banks with the U.S. dollar as being the world reserve, and gold's going to play a vital role. That's why central banks are buying gold. So you got to get some gold in your portfolio, silver, because the Fed's action goes from bust to boom to bust to boom, fire department to arsonist, and you got to buy before the markets start to make big moves, and that's where we're going right next in gold and silver.
And so, you know, we touched on this, and I've actually put the U.S. debt clock up on the screen on our Facebook live feed, just so I can make sure people are more sick to their stomach than perhaps they already are. But we talk regularly about the debt. So what's the latest news on that? We're going to come up against the break here in about a minute. But let's start the conversation on that. Then we'll continue talking about our ballooning debt on the other side. But what's kind of generally what's going on?
So yesterday, China was not off. We were off celebrating our country. But they announced they're going to start dumping treasuries. And this is Reuters, so it's mainstream media. This was announced through Beijing, through their state-backed newspaper called the Global Times. And they cited the expert, which his name is Xing Zhuan, and he's a professor at the Shanghai University of Finance and Economics, saying that China is going to decrease its holding of U.S. debt to $800 billion. So that's coming up.
That's coming up. Talking to him, I'm going to put you on hold, David. We're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital. There's so much to discuss today, so much happening in the financial world that we need to pay attention to. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. For those of you on Facebook Live, scrolling through a little bit right now, the world debt clock, which just shows you by country. If you're thinking America is, man, what's the rest of the world doing? Pretty much the same thing as us. The USA at $26.7 trillion and climbing. I'm paying attention to that so we can see how much more debt we go into over the course of today's full Money Monday show with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Then China's in there right after us, but $7.3 trillion. Think you can believe that number? No, I don't think so. Japan, $12 trillion. Germany, $2.9 trillion. This is all in the red. The UK, $3.5 trillion. France, $3 trillion. India, $2.2 trillion. Italy, $3 trillion. Italy, small country, $3 trillion in debt. Brazil, $1.7 trillion. Canada, $1.9 trillion. Argentina, ooh, they're only in the billions, $385 billion. Australia, $651 billion. See, they're doing pretty good, right? It's ridiculous. But then you go look at the GDP to debt. So GDP, gross domestic product, is how much product, how much sales, if you want to call it that, that America is producing in a year versus our debt. Okay, so the gross domestic product to GT, our external debt to gross domestic product ratio. Okay, so America right now, 128%. That's gross domestic product versus national debt, meaning our national debt's 128% of gross domestic product, or about 29% higher, right? And then you look at China, you can't even believe those. Japan, 91%, they're below. Germany, though, 166%. They're 66% over their gross domestic product and their debt. The UK, 284%. 284% of their gross domestic product in debt. These numbers are outlandish. They're ultimately unsustainable and something that, praise the Lord, as Eddie is reminding us on Facebook Live, the Lord owns it all. This is all temporary. And in the end, we don't have to worry about it. But right now we do, because it affects us and we have to pay attention to it, which is why we talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital each week. LandmarkGold.com is the website, LandmarkGold.com. And before we move on, David, kind of this, the big announcements for China. So remind us of that again, and then let's ask the big question. Why did they make the announcement? What are they up to?
Yeah. So China announced through their agency how they let news out that they're going to sell in the near future, gradually, $800 billion of U.S. debt, which is about 25% of their holdings, more. Now, considering they already sold a whole bunch of debt over the last few years, the part of this is political. The head butting between China and the United States, both leaders, and trying to, you know, create a healthy trade globally. That's some of it. The other reason is cited in the paper came as a result of what our Congressional Budget Office announced, the projection of our debt exploding in 2023. They're saying it's going to go just to these enormous numbers. And if you look on the U.S. debt clock into the future on 2024, it shows $46 trillion. So this is our government. And the CBO says the debt's going to hit a record pace and then explode from there. So on the coattails of that U.S. government announcement, China said this. The state newspaper cited was the potential risk of default in the United States on its debt as the world's largest economy has surged sharply. So China, maybe this is political, I think some of it is, but when you start looking at the numbers of our debt escalating and the world looking at our debt, we're following the same path as Britain when they lost the world reserve currency, the pound. So this is why there's all these warnings. That's why it's, you know, the dollar's not going to crash and go away tomorrow. But we're going to lose our status if we don't get our financial house in order. I've said that. And now the rest of the world is doing something about it. The world's been selling our debt. Few countries have been buying it. But the biggest holders are becoming not the biggest holders anymore of our debt. And that's what keeps this whole debt system perpetuating. So we're at coming where as you say, the teeter-totter analogy is tipping the other direction where we got to get the world to buy our debt for the debt to be sustained. And now our largest holder, that was our largest holder, now the second largest holder, is selling more debt. The Fed has become the number one largest holder, and they just can't keep that doing that forever. So this is going to come to a hit the wall here in the future.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's very, very alarming. How much of our debt does China own currently? David, you mentioned it earlier. I didn't write it down.
The actual number is $1.074 trillion in June, which is down from the month before.
Yeah, and some people on Facebook Live are saying, hey, you know, here's one of our problems is China owns so much of our debt. Well, not relative to the total, because the total is $26.7 trillion, of which they own $1 trillion. So it is significant for one player, obviously, but they don't hold even a lion's share of it. The bigger issue is the fact that we have that much. And just in 4 years, like you said, I'm looking at it as well, the U.S. debt clock has a time machine, so you can jump forward based on CBO numbers and some other thing. We go from $26 trillion to $46 trillion in the next 4 years. On this day in 2024, is projecting $46 trillion in debt, which at some point it becomes unsustainable. We don't make enough money in this country to even pay the interest on the debt. That's the direction we're going to, and it's really alarming. So is that factoring into – did you want to say something else about that?
Well, I was going to say, you know, something that to keep in mind on the debt-to-GDP ratio, which I'm looking at it also, is 128%, which means we're spending more money than we're taking in anytime we go over 100. That is not even the real number, because what they don't factor in is Social Security, which has been robbed blind. There's not all this money in our Social Security slush fund. All that money everybody's been paying into that, it's not there no more. The government has borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed from it. There is no money there.
Yeah,
it's called
nothing.
An unfunded liability. There's other major unfunded liabilities. So when you put it the stink test to it, and you say, what's the real number? It's much higher than 128%, and when you factor in that, we're probably realistically over 150% in our debt to GDP. So that's the, you know, closer to the real number.
Yeah.
So it's not as, it's bad, it's worse than the government is telling us.
Yeah, well, which is the norm, unfortunately, whether it's 2020 or not. So, you know, a lot of analysts are saying much higher prices in gold and silver. Obviously, they're outpacing everything else. It's starting to tighten up, and then we have this little correction over the last 3 days. But how much of this is factored? Like, what's going on behind this incredible run in gold and silver right now this year? Because obviously, there's debt here. There's the stock market. There's a lot of things in play.
Well, I've never heard in 26 years of my career in precious metals so many analysts saying we're buying gold. So many you know, hedge funds, so many billionaires saying we're buying gold. You know, I said, you know, even a pension fund came out here last week. We mentioned this a week ago, the Ohio Police and Fire Department Pension Fund. They're approving a 5% allocation in gold as the first step, and another 20-25% as the second step. So, and, you know, Warren Buffett, they just bought some gold, not in physicals, but in paper, because he can't store that. And he couldn't even get that type of purchase in physicals right now. So the world is buying gold. Central banks are buying gold. Pensions are buying gold. Hedge funds are buying gold. Billionaires are saying get into gold. There's, you know, there's some people are saying stay away from it. I get all that. Just like some people are saying stay away from stocks. Well, you know, it's good to have some representation there. So the world is waking up to the fact that this debt structure is not going away, and it's only going to get worse, and it's probably going to ramp up from here. And this is where gold is the hedge, not against a crash of the U.S. dollar, but against either a massive default, which is what China says we might go into, and others are saying this, or a massive inflationary environment, which the Fed is saying what we're going to go into. So however you play the cards on the table, they have to suffice managing the debt, either by defaulting on it or inflating on it, and gold is the hedge against all that. So this is why another analyst, another one just came out, Bloomberg Intelligence, picked up their senior commodity strategist, Mike McGlone, said, you know, $3,000 gold in the near future. So central bankers are now coming out. The previous central banker out of Finland, he was the head of the banking operations of the central bank there. His name is Pentti Pekkarinen. I don't know if I pronounce his last name right, but he came out publicly and says the world is moving towards a reserve system away from the dollar, unless the dollar gets backed by gold, and this could be consistent with other currencies moving towards a gold-backed currency, but we're moving towards a multi-reserve currency system which is backed by gold. So this lines up with Scripture talking about, you know, I don't know if he knows he's a brother in the Lord or not, but this is what a previous former central banker is saying. Currently, we are moving towards a currency that will be backed by gold as a solution to this debt problem. So that's where we're headed. Get ahead of the curve. Get some gold and back your own currency by gold, because the government's not doing that right now. And that's why we're going to have higher prices.
That's exactly right. We're going to keep talking about that and a few other things. The potential for a bail-in. We'll do a little bail-in 101. It's happened in other places. Could it possibly happen here? A little bit more about how you place gold and silver into your mix as you look at trying to be a good steward of whatever God has given you. This is Steve Noble with my good friend David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com, here on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Full Money Monday today, first Monday of the month. It was yesterday. It was Labor Day. So we switched over to Tuesday. Here we are, and still rocking and rolling through the show. So stock market correction, ! Today is the title. And we're talking to Dave Fisher. Just a little update. We started looking at the U.S. National Debt Clock at 4:18 p.m. Eastern Time here on the live radio show. We were at 26,736,136,000,000 and change. That was at 4:18 p.m. Eastern Time. It is now 4:48 p.m. Eastern Time. So 30 minutes have gone by. Okay. And now we're at 26,736,219,000,000. So we went from 136 million to 219 million, coming up on 100 million in additional debt within the confines of the show. And we're only, that's 30 minutes. I didn't even start it at the top of the hour, at the beginning of the show. I started it a little late at 4:18 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're going to go from 4:18 p.m. to 4:58 p.m. And then I'll tell you. So in 40 minutes, you'll see how many millions and millions and millions of dollars that we've increased the national debt. Just sitting here having a normal afternoon, talking with our good friend, David Fisher from Landmark Capital, LandmarkGold.com. David, are we having fun yet?
Not when you talk about the national debt clock.
Oh, my goodness. It's just staggering and shocking. I found an article because Nina on Facebook Live is like, who owns all this debt? Which is a great question. And so I posted an article, who owns the U.S. national debt? And actually, Japan owns a little bit more than China. And most of it's owned by, guess who? The U.S. taxpayer. And it's really just shocking to look at that. So I put that up on Facebook Live. So if you're listening on the radio, get over to my Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show. You can join us here in the studio during the show, or you can just look at that later, and you'll see that. You'll see the national debt clock. We've had that on the screen, and just trying to make sure we're all dealing with reality. And so as we kind of can finish up our conversation today, David, again, thank you for spending all this time with us. And we look at what's happening with gold and silver. Let's just kind of re-explain. Then I want to talk about bail-ins for a little bit. Let's just kind of 101, gold and silver. How do you place that into your portfolio? What purpose does it serve? And there's kind of investing in gold and silver, like Warren Buffett did with some funds and buying some stocks, things of that nature. Then there's actual physical possession. So help us understand those two things, and then we'll talk about the bail-in.
So the dollar is devaluing. A $20 bill and a $20 gold piece in the 1920s had the same purchasing power. And I could have bought a brand new suit and tie and shoes, the whole gamut, for $20 and pay with a gold piece, 1 ounce, or a $20 bill. Nixon, 1971, took us off a gold standard. The country started going into debt. It perpetuated. We're at these levels that are just astronomical. The $20 bill will not buy a tie, a nice one. Yet a $20 gold coin is worth $2,000 in its worst-case condition, and you can convert that to cash and buy a brand-new suit, tie, shirt, shoes, and still have money left over. The moral of the story is paper money will continue to devalue, and the faster we go into debt, the faster it devalues. That's why gold is running now faster, because the debt is running faster. So you hedge yourself, unless you think somebody's going to back up by gold. Well, if they do that, then gold's got to run up to these high numbers that I talked about before, between $5,000 to $10,000. Yes, you heard me right. First time I ever said this about a month ago in 26 years, we're going to have $5,000 to $10,000 gold. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. You can buy gold indirectly by owning stock, but that's not buying gold. It's buying gold in a stock company or a mining company, which is still good asset to hold. Yet, it's not the physical product, because if they do a thing we'll talk about in a second called the bail-in, that does not save you from that. And the company has to have good dividends and profitability, and the board has to make good executive decisions. So you're relying on all those things. It has nothing to do with gold. It's just the management side. So physical gold is what we do at Landmark Capital. It's very important to have some physical gold in the portfolio, just like it's really important to have cash in your portfolio, just like it's really important to have real estate and not have all your eggs in one basket called stocks.
Yeah.
So diversification is really the key element here.
Diversification, the key element. We say it every week, and any smart advisor or broker is saying the same thing. If we're thinking logically, okay, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. I'll use all kinds of old sayings, and you don't. And especially in this environment, you got to be very, very careful. Let's revisit the bail-in, because you've actually got on YouTube, you've got a series of videos. So if you just go to YouTube and just put into the search box Landmark Capital, L-A-N-D-M-A-R-K, Landmark Capital, you'll find a series of videos there that David has done. But let's just remind everybody what a bail-in is, where it's happened before, and could that possibly happen here in the U.S.?
Well, it's a wealth tax. It's a way of taking care of the debt and looking at the national debt clock. $214,844 is the liability per taxpayer of debt in the United States. So all of us own that amount. Then we would wipe away the debt. So one way of doing that is either inflating it or seizing your money, going into your bank account, your stock account, your brokerage account, your 401k, your IRA. Fox News did a big segment on this saying this is where our government is headed. And the International Monetary Fund said this is where all the countries need to head. They've done it already. 8-9 countries have done it already. I wrote a white paper on it. So, and there's a legal law that has been set up in 2010 called the Dodd-Frank Act that allows them to do it. You can go to the government website. I've said this many times, FDIC.com. The FDIC wrote a white paper saying this is how the bail-in works in the United States. So it's not, there's not this insurance money. We've got to get away from fallacy that there's all this insurance money that the FDIC gets to fix all this problem. If that be the case, the FDIC wouldn't have gone before the government in 2008 to ask for money because there wasn't enough money. So this is where one way of wiping out the debt is putting on the back of the taxpayer, seizing a portion of their money, and the Wall Street Journal said that portion is 56 to 71%, called the coming global wealth tax. So you diversify out of your IRA, your 401k, and you can have a gold IRA that holds gold physically or silver physically, and you can take possession of it without tax liability. We have a white paper on that. You can learn about that. Get educated.
Yeah, and that's all. And again, when we talk about bail-in, that's all happened electronically. Okay, so it's not like the feds are showing up at your front door and say, "Give me all your cash," like an old bank robbers movie. No, it's all done electronically. That's the thing about having some gold and silver in your possession is you're not in the electronic stream, which I know sounds crazy, but this has happened in other countries around the world.
It is crazy, but there is a big movement, and more articles are coming out. The wealth tax is a recurring topic now. Former U.S. Democrat presidential nominees Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders suggest that this is the way to fix it. Yeah. Even Joe Biden is wanting to, you know, raise taxes. California Democrats just raised two proposals on Bill 1253 and 2088 bill. That would raise a wealth tax in California. So it is a movement. It's not going to go away. It's going to be talked more about. I'm reading articles from people who I've been quoting on what the future will be when I talk about financial things, what I say is going to happen. And a company by the name of Phoenix Capital is talking about a wealth tax. They've been talking about it for the last 4 or 5 months. Yeah. I was blown away when I saw a stock investment newsletter talking about a wealth tax. It is coming as one of the viable solutions. I'm not saying it's the only one, and they will implement it, but they're certainly talking about it.
Yeah, and I just shared, watch Davos this coming January. I did a whole show on this recently and put the link up on Facebook Live called The Great Reset, looking at COVID-19 crisis, political, economic, social disruptions as an opportunity to literally reset the entire global economy. And of course, you got a bunch of socialists and Marxists and godless people for the most part that are running that. But that's real. It's happening. These conversations are happening. LandmarkGold.com is the website. Or like I said, you can go to YouTube, just put Landmark Capital in the search box and find those videos so that you can educate yourself not only on gold and silver, but also on the bail-in and all the different things that are at play and could be happening in the days to come, which we need to pay great attention to. And really appreciate your time as always, David. Thanks so much for being here. We're coming up on the end of the show, but God bless you. And again, how should people get a hold of you?
Thank you so much, Steve. God bless you too. 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882, or landmarkgold.com.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. We'll look forward to talking to you next Monday. God bless.
God bless you too.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. That was David Fisher. And one of the things I want to remind you about, and I just put this link up there. We just got about a minute and a half to go. Of the Great Reset. Okay, I used to read this stuff. Look, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, I'd read some of this stuff. People are sending me things all the time. I'd be like, this is kooky. This is crazy. The Great Reset. What are you, Davos? What is Davos? What's going on? But when you get into it, and now that we're, you know, most of the way through 2020, everything's on the table now. So let's not have, I often say this, don't have a pre-9/11 mindset in a post-9/11 world. We all need to be much more imaginative. And I think what we're getting a taste of now, look at 2020 and go, okay, is this just a good dry run for the man of lawlessness? We see that happening all over the place. And yeah, I mean, these are some of the most powerful people in the world, the World Economic Forum. And this is from the website, weforum.org, The Great Reset. So I put that link there. Go look at it yourself. One person that's really plugged into some of these things happening, especially in the Middle East, is New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg. I spent about 35 minutes on the phone with him earlier today. He's in Jerusalem. So we recorded that interview. I'm going to play all of that tomorrow. That'll take up 3 segments of the show tomorrow. I'll be here in the studio. And then we're going to start doing a special feature, the last segment of the show on Wednesdays between now and November 3rd. Between now and the election, we'll spend the last segment every Wednesday with North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, who's running for governor, talking about what's going on here in North Carolina, where most of you are listening. Really, really important election, not just at the presidential level, but the governor level. A great man of God, a great friend of the show, a great friend of mine personally. So we look forward to having Dan on the fourth segment every Wednesday, starting tomorrow, between now and November. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.